Your work is your sphere of service to Christ. It is what God has given to you to be an outworking of your devotion to Christ.
This is the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Bill Wright, and we're continuing our series, At Work with Christ. If what we do for a living is an outworking of Christ in us, what should our workplace manner look like? Don addresses that question today as he begins a message titled, Christ in Your Workplace. Don, what can we look forward to the next couple of days?
Well, my friend, I think there is a wonderful opportunity for you ahead as we look at these next couple of broadcasts titled Christ in Your Workplace. What we're going to find is that the focus Scripture brings to your mind about your job is not so much the specific duties that you do, but the character attitudes that you bring to the job that transcend work and get to the heart of what God is really trying to accomplish in your life in the marketplace. Stay with us as we study, because you're going to be encouraged on the Truth Pulpit today.
Let's join Pastor Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
Last time, we looked at the reality of slavery in the first century, and we saw that it is not something that is really directly comparable to what we know from our American experience of slavery in the South prior to and during the Civil War. Slavery in the first century in the Roman Empire was something that was common. It was moderate in the way that slaves were treated, and slavery was covering a diverse range of responsibilities, from common attendants to those who were doctors and managers of trusts and estates and things of that nature. There was a broad range of slavery, and it was not nearly as severe as it is sometimes painted by those who teach on the subject. And we looked at a number of things to support that assertion. Paul was speaking into a situation that was common in life, that is a realm where many people lived. They had responsibilities to those for whom they worked, and Paul is addressing that. And so it's something that's very easily transferable to us here in the 21st century, to realize that in our workplace, those of us that work for bosses, for supervisors, for those that have authority over us, we find ourselves stepping into a realm that is directly and immediately applicable to the things that we do. And so whether you work for the government in some capacity or whether you're working in private industry, here you can find that which gives direction to your approach to the way that you make your living. And what we said last time is this, is that when you must realize that when you are a Christian, that the presence of Christ in your life changes everything. Christ as King, recognizing that He is the one ultimately who is God and Lord and ruler and your ultimate and final master over your life. And when you realize that Christ has orchestrated the circumstances of your life to put you in exactly the situation that you find yourself in today, you are is a product of the outworking of the oversight and providence of God in your life, then you are able to give your service, to give your work with a mindset that says, that looks beyond your earthly master and says, I'm doing this for Christ because He is my Lord. I'm doing this for Christ because He is the one who has put me here. Let me just remind you from what we looked at last week. Verse 5, you see this in each aspect of the passage. He says in verse 5, serve your masters, be obedient to them as to Christ. Verse 5. Verse 6, serve them as slaves of Christ. Verse 7, render your service as to the Lord. Verse 8, realize that you're going to receive back from the Lord. And so right there you have something that supernaturally transforms your whole perspective on what you do in life. And really this would apply even to students, as I know we have many young people in the audience, for you to be mindful that this is an attitude for you to adopt toward your instructors as well. Not that you embrace every worldly philosophy that they might try to pour down your throat, but rather you approach them with a sense of respect and deference and sincerity in your own heart as you receive their instruction. This is something that helps all of us. And here's the thing, beloved. Here's the thing that you and I need to keep in mind. The presence of Christ in your life, the presence of Christ in your workplace changes absolutely everything. All of a sudden, your work is no longer simply about the horizontal relationships and alternately getting frustrated or being pleased with what's happening at work or with your boss, being whether he's competent or incompetent. The presence of Christ changes everything, because here's the way that this passage is instructing you to think about your work. Your work is your sphere of service to Christ. It is what God has given to you to be an outworking of your devotion to Christ. And so you are serving Christ in your workplace, even if your duties are entirely secular and human in nature. You are serving Christ. And here's what that means. Our Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord Jesus Christ, has ordained your present master, the one who has authority over you. That present supervisor that you have is someone who represents the authority of Christ in your life. That's why Paul can say you do this, you serve this way as to Christ, as to the Lord, doing the will of God as a slave of Christ. And so you approach this with a sense of reverence. Therefore, you say, wow, all of a sudden I'm thinking vertically. I'm responding to Christ here. Christ calls me to certain attitudes and certain conduct and certain motivations that far transcend the earthly master, that far transcends anything that that earthly master intends. Christ has appointed this for you as the sphere in which you would respond to him in this time in your life. And so we let that sink in a little bit. We contemplate that. You know, I think about it in terms of some of the past employment that I've had in the secular workplace and matters of ministry in which I've served in the past, and realize that there were some successes and failures on my own part. There were times when I spoke quite out of place to my earthly boss. Christian boss, I'm ashamed of it, thinking back on it sometimes, and the things that I said to him, speaking back and being critical rather than supportive in the way that I approached things as a younger man in the workplace. This was not good. You see, beloved, here's the way that we need to think about it. Your compliance in your work responsibilities, or your resistance, as the case may be, is ultimately compliance or resistance to Christ himself. When God has established this authority over you and says you respond to this as I instruct you in Ephesians chapter 6, the mindset that you bring to that is ultimately, when you clear away all of the external human factors in it, ultimately you're responding to Christ in the way that you approach things in the workplace. So here's a question, you know. Is your workplace attitude reflective of a love and a devotion and a faithfulness to Christ? Or is your irritability and your frustration and your resistance and even defiance, as the case may be, reflecting on the fact that you're defying the Lord himself in what you do? These are probing questions, aren't they? As we see the text, we'll see how it is that we are to go about approaching our workplace and being mindful of Christ in the workplace. What's the general principle that Paul calls slaves, calls servants, calls workers to? Look at verse 5. Notice how unqualified it is. Verse 5, he says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. He says, be obedient. You want to see something interesting? That is the exact same word with which he addresses children in chapter 6, verse 1. Look at that with me here, just to give you a sense. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Same word being used here in verse 5. Just as children are to obey their parents in a comprehensive way, so also you in the workplace are to obey your master in a comprehensive way. What do you mean by obedience? Let's not make this too complicated. Do what they tell you to do. Once the boss says this is the way it's going to be, it is not your prerogative as a Christian worker to substitute your judgment for the decision that was made and rebel against it and say, no, I'm not going to do it that way. That's not obedience. That's not doing what they say. And so one of the aspects of this, and it's actually liberating if you think through it rightly, one of the liberating aspects of this is to recognize that it is neither your duty nor your prerogative to substitute your judgment once the full decision has been made, the issues have been discussed, and they say this is the way it's going to be. It is not your prerogative in that subordinate position to think that it's your place to substitute your judgment and say that's not right, that's not the way it should be done. That's not Christian obedience. That's not doing what they say to do. And so you need to be mindful of the fact that there is a place for you as a Christian worker, and this is so fundamental, to realize that there is a place for you to subordinate your judgment and not try to second guess every decision that is made, because that is not the realm of authority that's been given to you. And so you accept that, you receive it, even if your judgment is different, you realize that your judgment is subordinate to the greater call of Christ on your life to obey your master according to the flesh. And you know what? When you do that, you know what it does is that you accept that, you respond to it, it eliminates a lot of conflict in your relationship with your superiors. Because all of a sudden you're not trying to contest their judgment with your own. You line up. This is in part what the whole principle means throughout Ephesians 6. You line up under their authority and you comply and say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, as the case may be. You're not meant to be a spur in their saddle once the decisions have been made. And how can you do that? Well, how would Christ call you to that? What does that attitude look like? Paul, having stated the general principle in verse 5, now lays out the details and the implications of it. And what Paul is doing here is he's bringing heavenly principles to bear upon earthly life. The way that you respond to the authority of Christ in your life provides for you, if you are walking in the Spirit, if you're walking in obedience to Christ, it gives you a parallel, it gives you a mindset that is supposed to easily transfer over into these earthly realms in which you walk. And so you look beyond your boss to see the authority of Christ who put him over you. And when that is clear in your mind, you're left with two things. You're left with two things, as we see in this passage. You can embrace the right mindset and you can embrace the right motivation for your work. That's going to be our two-part outline. The right mindset in the workplace and the right motivation in the workplace. Paul leads us, first of all, to the workplace mindset, beginning in verse 5. Let's look at verse 5 with me again. He says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Now notice something right from the start that is a big help in this. Paul says, obey those who are your masters according to the flesh. In other words, he's saying two things. One is to recognize that they're masters, but it's only in a human realm. That right there gives you a start to understand that there are transcendent things that can motivate you through this. Their authority over you is only in the human realm. They're not masters of your soul. They're not captains of your conscience. And so their authority is limited to that human realm that has been given to them. And so you can obey them in that human realm, being mindful of the fact that the more important priorities, the things that hold the greater center of your affections, belong to a spiritual realm that is outside of their control, outside of their influence. You're under the complete lordship of Christ as a Christian. You belong to a loving master who is in heaven. And your earthly realm is just one aspect of the greater things that inform everything about your life. And so you can say, okay, this is just according to the flesh. I can live with some discomfort. I can live with some injustice here. I can live with my opinion not prevailing because this isn't my highest priority anyway in terms of what happens here in the workplace. And so Paul says, once this is clear in your mind that your service is ultimately to Christ and that your master is only over a human realm that doesn't exhaust everything that's important to you, then you can start to approach this and say, okay, I've got a perspective here that I can respond to. I'm in a position of strength here. Christ died for my sins. Christ rose again. Christ has redeemed me forever to be with Him in heaven. And so ultimately life is really great for me because it comes out with me being face to face with Christ, my Savior, in heaven forever and ever and ever. Amen. How could anything be bad in life for me? Look at how good I've got it. You realize where I'm going to be? I'm going to be in heaven. This is awesome. Okay, now I've got to deal with this earthly issue. At least I've got a mindset to start with. I'm dealing with this from a position of strength. And what's your mindset? Paul details four attitudes that should inform your mindset in the workplace, all of which flow from the reality of your Christian salvation. All which flow from a vertical dimension to life that you belong to Christ and that you love Him. First of all, how should you approach your work then? Now we get down to the nitty gritty. First of all, you work with respect toward your earthly master. You work with respect toward that boss or supervisor. Look at verse 5 with me. Here we're looking at the mindset that informs the way that you think about your work. Slaves, verse 5, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Here it is, with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. This is not the cringing fear of, don't hit me. That's not the mindset at all. We know that because slavery predominantly was not like that to begin with. This aspect of fear and trembling is referring to an earnest attitude that understands that that master represents to you the authority of Christ. You realize that even when you go into your work realm, that you are entering into a realm that Christ is Lord over, that Christ has commanded you on, that Christ has ordained and orchestrated for you. And all of a sudden you're viewing this from a perspective of a Christ-centered mindset. And you say, this is so much more than about my paycheck and my duties. This is what God has given to me in life. This is where the Lordship of Christ has led me. This is where I find myself under the rule of Christ. And Christ is holy. Christ is good. Christ is merciful. And I want to please Him with this aspect of my life. And so all of a sudden, the presence of the holiness of God, the holiness of Christ, is influencing the way that you approach your workplace attitudes. And so, yes, indeed, you approach it with fear and trembling because you say, I want to please Christ here. Christ sees me and I want to respond rightly to Him. Look over at Colossians chapter 3, a parallel passage. Colossians chapter 3, we'll bounce back to here a couple of times. And here in this passage, you can see even more clearly how Paul has in mind the idea of fearing the Lord in your workplace. Colossians 3, verse 22. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, here it is, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men. And so Scripture says you approach this, your workplace, with a mindset that I am going in here fearing Christ, fearing the Lord, being mindful that I am ultimately accountable to Him with how I live in the midst of what He's given to me. And so all of a sudden it's transformed from whether your boss is smart or ignorant, whether your boss is fair and generous, or whether he's unkind and stingy. And you say, this is what the Lord has given to me, and I will respond with respect to my earthly master, because I realize that in a greater sense, I'm responding to the authority of Christ Himself in my workplace. You honor Christ as your Lord by the way that you respond to the master that He's given to you. Stated differently, you respect your master not for his intrinsic worth himself. You respect your master for the sake of Christ, because this is what Christ calls you to, and Christ is Lord over all in a comprehensive sense. And so you respond with respect that is worthy of one who claims to know the fear of God in their lives. Go back to Ephesians now. You work with respect. Secondly, you work with integrity. You work with integrity. And I know that this will step on toes. I know that here, as we get into this realm, that ultimately we're no doubt getting into matters that are right in your kitchen. And that's the way it should be with the Word of God. We should welcome the Word of God to rebuke us, sometimes to bruise us in life, because we realize that we need the correcting, instructive influence of God's Word in our life to sanctify us in the direction that Christ would have us to go. And secondly, as we address this, as we receive God's Word this way, you work with integrity. You work with integrity. Look at verse 5 with me again. He says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. I know I've read this already like 6 times. I'll probably read it 7 or 8 times by the time we're done here, simply by the force of repetition to let this sink in. Because, you know, the problem is, and I can speak from personal experience here, the problem is that we try to justify ourselves. You try to justify your perspective, your assessment of the situation, and say, this is the way that things should be done. I am right and they are wrong. Well, maybe in one sense you are right, but that's not the issue. The question is not the issue itself. The question is, how are you responding to the authority that's in your life? And Paul is calling you to think in terms of the authority rather than the day-to-day issues. And he says, you deal with your master with respect, and you do your work, verse 5 there, in the sincerity of your heart. In other words, do it with integrity. Here's what that means for you. And you can do this. All of this is completely attainable through the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells you. And if there's resistance in your heart to it, realize that the problem is not your work situation. It's an attitude of the heart that God's Word needs to come like a scalpel and excise it from you. To change you. To pull out that sinful attitude and replace it with that which is godly. And so what does this integrity mean? What does this sincerity of heart mean? It means that you embrace your position that God has given you, and you give your best effort to what the master assigns to you, what your boss gives to you. Not saying, I don't like this, and therefore I'm not even going to try. I'm going to sit and pout. How could that possibly honor Christ? Excise the earthly master from it and realize that this is what Christ has given to you to do. Mundane, meager, whatever the case may be, whether it's glorious or ordinary, is irrelevant. You see that? It's irrelevant. Rather, you receive and say, this responsibility in front of me today is what Christ Himself has for me to do. And therefore, I'm going to respond to Christ with this.
do your work with respect and integrity, for it pleases the Lord, and it's your rightful service to Him. An important and always pertinent reminder from Pastor Don Green here on the Truth Pulpit. Don will have part two of his message, Christ in Your Workplace, next time, so do join us then. Right now, Don's back here in studio with a special invitation.
Well, friend, if you are anywhere near the Cincinnati area and you don't have a good church home, I invite you to visit us at Truth Community Church. I'm in the pulpit almost every Sunday, and we have a loving congregation that would simply be thrilled to meet you and welcome you to our body. We are striving to manifest the principles that you heard taught today. Why not come and see us? Bill will help you find us on our website.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com for directions and service times. There you'll also find a link to Don's Facebook page. Once more, that's thetruthpulpit.com. And thanks for your support of this ministry. I'm Bill Wright. Be sure to come back next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.